This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلِّم اللهم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, we noticed from ourselves and people around us something very, very interesting and sad in the same time, which is that you find from yourself sometimes the ability to do so much and to offer so much and to be so committed. And you find sometimes your heart completely turning away and you're shut off. You'll see people that they're so happy when they're giving, even more happier when they donate than when they receive. But not everybody like that. You see people when the salat time comes, they're so happy to pray and so excited about prayer. And there is others, they drag their feet and they feel it is just something I want to, not that I want have it so I can get rid from, you know, all worries. No, a salat itself, it's a worry that I want to get rid of. You'll see people, As-Siyam, it's a joy for them, while other, it's just suffering. You see people when they are told there is a class to learn, to attend, they are happy, excited, want to learn, want to, you know, increase their ilm and their knowledge. And there is other people who are so bored, can't take it. I understand that, let me put this point out. I understand completely that this is not only to one factor, but to so many factors. Sometimes the speaker is boring, sometimes the time is not the best time, I'm sleepy, I understand all this, but that's not what I think is the core of the issue that I want to judge here. It is something from inside you, really make you even see all these obstacles are as nothing. And you can overcome them sometimes, and some people have the same reservation that you have, but yet they're still so committed. What is the reason behind that? Why there is people, Allah open their heart, that they love Quran and they love to recite and they love to listen, and some people, their heart, they're not there. You know, some people keep telling you, oh, you know, I'm not cut for that. That's not my thing. Why there is people say that? Why do people feel that? Is it really Allah created us differently, that some people cut for this and some people are not? The answer, absolutely not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He created all upon the same fitrah, the same way of loving Allah and loving the deen, loving the khair, loving good and hating evil and bad. But what happened as we grow, as we live our life, and we start practicing our life and behaving in this dunya, things change. This concept is known in the books of theology as the concept of at-tawfiq wal-khudlan. At-tawfiq, when Allah bless you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open your heart, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you that inner zeal and excitement and commitment to good, and make you so, you know, no interest in evil and bad, or have the ability to control yourself and to direct yourself to do what's correct. And in khudlan is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave you for yourself. He doesn't give you that aid and support. He just leave you to your own. You deal with it in your own. Know that extra help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that's hard. That's difficult. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Allah said in the Quran, if Allah helps you, no one can defeat you. But if He denies you help, then who else can help you? Who else can bring that help and excitement and turning your heart? I think there's a big question here. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandon someone? And I mean by abandon, maybe the better word, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would leave someone to his own self? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that to someone, will leave you just on your own? He's fair, He's just, He's wise. And I will guarantee you right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يخذل عبدا إلا بسبب ذنبه وإلا بسبب فعله. Allah will never, ever leave you to your own except for the result of your own actions. When you do certain things, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave you for yourself. It is your own action what distance you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these actions? I will share with you four important ones. And see, and based on how much you have of them, how much you're drifting far away from the guidance and the help. كلما كان لك نصيب من هذه الأربع أكثر كلما كان بعدك عن الله أكثر وخذلان الله لك أعمق. Number one, اتباع الهوى. Number one, to follow your desire. And you prefer your desire over what you know it is correct as true. You know what is right, but your desire, you know, telling you now, don't do this, do that, fulfill that. You know what is right and wrong. It's not the lack of knowledge. But you still prefer your desires over what is correct, over what is beneficial, even if it is harmful, even if it makes no sense, even if it is wrong, I still want to follow my desire. And a person just keep doing that, until that person will become slave to their desire, trap that they feel, I cannot resist, I can't get out of that cycle of doom anymore. Allah يقول وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And do not follow your desire, Allah says, or they will lead you astray from Allah's way. Absolutely. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is no worse, no one worse than وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and who could be more astray than those who follow their desires with no guidance from Allah. يقول علي بن أبي طالب الهوى شريك العمى كلهم يعمي ويصم هذا يعمي آلة البصر وهذا يعمي القلب. He said الهوى and العمى. العمى means blindness. الهوى is following the desires. He said if you just following the desires and blindness is the same. This one will not will enable you to see with your eyes, and the other one will not allow you to see with your heart and with your soul. وقال إنما أخوف ما أخاف عليكم اثنتين. Ali radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, said, "What I fear the most for you is two things: طول الأمل واتباع الهوى. فإن طول الأمل ينسي الآخرة وإن اتباع الهوى ينسي الحق." He said, "I worry the most from two things: طول الأمل, where you think that you will live so long, you still have so much time in your life." And for anyone here who think himself will live long, you're wrong. Death does not differentiate between healthy and sick, young and old. And if you want to figure that out yourself, go visit the cemetery. See how many young people there. Go visit the hospitals. Ask doctors, or plenty of them here. When death comes, it comes. He said, the long life, the long hope in life, that will basically make you forget about the Akhirah. Because you think this is the main thing, is this dunya. To fulfill your desire in this dunya, this life. And you forget about the next. And ilhawa, following the desires, it will block you from seeing the truth or want to follow what is correct. ولذلك يقول فضيل بن عياض من اتبع هواه استحوذ عليه حتى انقطعت عنه موارد التوفيق. When you follow your desires, you're away from the guidance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri, somebody told him, "What's the best form of jihad?" قال ما هو أعظم الجهاد؟ قال أن تجاهد هواك. The best time of fighting is to fight your own desires, is to struggle against it. ولذلك يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله, I heard one Shaykh al-Islam, my teacher Ibn Taymiyyah, he was told by a man, إذا خان الرجل في نقد الدراهم, يعني في يعني غش في الدراهم الذهب والفضة وكذا, قال سلبه الله معرفة النقد أو نسيه. قال شيخ الإسلام وكذلك من خان الله في العلم. A man told Ibn Taymiyyah, he's a businessman, so he told Ibn Taymiyyah, "You know what? I notice anyone cheat in trade, the trade of silver and gold, cheat, and he will bring copper and he make it, mix it as if it is gold. You know, he cheat in the weight of the gold, so they cheat in their business." He said, that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will made him end up losing the ability to differentiate between real gold and fake gold. Real silver, he will lose the ability to do that because he cheat a lot. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, the same thing when a scholar do the same. When a scholar cheat, when a scholar know what the truth, and he will tell you what's against the truth, for whatever desire, for whatever reason, Allah will make those scholars lose their ilm as well. Number two, al-riya, when a person constantly showing off. When you don't do things for Allah, when you do things for your parents, when you do things for your friends, when you do things for society, when you do things for your spouse, when you do things to impress people around you, when the heart is watching people than more than watching Allah, that's the heart where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave it and to its own. That's dangerous, that's scary. And unfortunately, we're living in a society today where people's judgment is more important than what Allah says. What people think of you is more important than what Allah think of you. That's the heart which filled with riya, filled with free from ikhlas, nasal Allah al-afiya, of sincerity. The third one, at-takabbur wal-ghurur wal-i'jab bin-nafs. The third reason where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave the person to his own, when the person is arrogant. When the person is arrogant and think of himself that he's perfect. I don't need anyone. I don't need any help. I'm just correct. You know, when I look down upon others, يقول ابن عمر that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثلاث مهلكات وثلاث منجيات وثلاث كفارات وثلاث درجات. Three things will destroy you. Three things will save you. Three things will erase your sins. And three things will elevate your status in Jannah. And the point from the hadith, the three things that will destroy you. شُحٌ مُطَاعٌ. When you so stingy, you love the wealth more than money, more than anything, then you will follow that desire, the love for money. وَهَوَى مُتَّبَعٌ. and you follow your desire, wherever your desire takes you, you go. وإعجاب المرء بنفسه. And the third one, when you see yourself perfect, you know, when you think that you Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, nothing wrong with you. And that leads you to, when you think you're perfect, anything you do, you try to justify it. Anything you do, you try to convince yourself that it's correct. And it is absolutely nothing wrong with it. And that's why you never change. That's why you never grow. That's why you never able to be a better person. Ali radiallahu anhu also said, التوفيق خير قائد وحسن الخلق خير قرين والعقل خير صاحب والأدب خير ميراث ولا وحشة أشد من العجب. Ali radiallahu anhu said, the guidance of Allah is the best guide that you can ever have. Good manners is the best thing to have it in your company. Yani, to be always in the, basically seen with good manners. And intellect, common sense, is the best things to have in your life. And manners is the best things to inherit and to leave behind you. Yani, your children will always talk about how, you know, well-mannered you are. And you will take from your parents and from your people, you know, good manners. And he said that nothing can be more worthy, and it will lead for the person to be abandoned and hated and unsuccessful, like al-ujb, being arrogant. SubhanAllah, and one of the things that I love what Al-Ghazali rahimahullah said, he said, كَمْ مِنْ سِرَاجٍ قَدْ أَتْفَأَطْهُ الرِّيحِ. Many candles will be, the light will go away because of the wind. But also so many knowledge and so many acts of worship and so many righteous will be away because of the arrogance. Because you think yourself, I'm better than others just because I prayed, just because I did this, just because I did that. And that's why Ibn Hajar al-Haytham, he said sometimes arrogance أسرع إلى العلماء منهم إلى العوام. Sometimes even scholars, people of knowledge. يعني, and that applies to scholars of Sharia and scholars in other area. Sometimes because you have a very high degree, very successful, specialized in area, and you think yourself you know it all. If you, it's great thing to be great knowledge in certain area. You're the greatest physician ever. You're the greatest businessman ever. You're the best one in trade, whatever it is, your area. But if you think that by doing that, you're just nothing better than me, that's where you'd start declining. That's where you start getting to the bottom. Because that anyone who knows what knowledge is, he knows that the more you learn, the more you realize that you have so much to learn. There's so much more to get and to gain. Then he said, فَالْجَاهِلُ الْعَامِّ إذا تواضع وذل هيبة لله وخوفا منه فهو أطوع من العالم المتكبر والعابد المعجب. If you have a scholar or a person of knowledge and a righteous actor, an actor like an ascetic, a person who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are arrogant. And while you have an average Muslim who doesn't have knowledge, who doesn't do much of act of worship, but they are humble. But they always see that they need the aid and the help from Allah. Those people more better, much better than the person with the knowledge and the person with the ibadah if they are filled with arrogance. Last one would I end with, constantly making sins. Sins take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we call it repentance, which is rujoo, to repent, and to come back. Because sin drifts you away. Don't just underestimate the power of sin. Don't drift very, very far. So it became hard for you to go. Like, I don't know if you guys like swimming or not, but if you go swim, and mashallah, you're excited, you know, I love, for example, I'm a diver, so I love diving when there is a current, because it's a lazy dive. They just drop you, and the current will drift you, take you. You just do like this. You just stand up and the water will take you all the way, or the boat pick you up from the other side. That's it. You do nothing. But you drift. But imagine if you have to do a drift, but you have to go back to the shore. Or you swim, then you have to go against the current. Or you boating, you kayaking, or you canoeing, and you have to go against now the drift, to go back. That's hard. That's a sin. When you drift with the sin far away, because the desire to make things easy and the lazy, swim, leave it, drift. But when you come back, the farther you are, the harder to go back. Don't let the sins take you and drift you away. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Don't be like those whom forgot Allah. So He made them forget themselves. It is they who are truly rebellious. فُسَّان. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يعصمنا وإياكم من الزلل والخطل. أقول ما سمعتم واستغفر الله لي ولكم واستغفر. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. أبو حامد الغزالي رحمه الله, who died in 505 Hijri, said, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, is not just your face will turn to be dark or change or your wealth will go less. قالت اللعنة ليست سوادا في الوجه ونقصا في المال. إنما اللعنة, the true meaning of curse, أَلَّا تَخْرُجَ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا وَقَعْتَ فِي مِثْلِهِ أَوْ شَرًّا مِنْهَ. The true meaning of curse, that you do a sin, then next you do another one, similar to it or worse. You just go from one problem to another, from one sin to another, from one sin to another, from one sin to another. Allah saved you so many times, but you go to another kind of sin. That's the true curse. Because sin and keep, لَعْنَا curse, it means put you away. لَعْنَا هِيَ الطَّرْدُ وَالْإِبْعَادُ, is you're away from something. So the more you do these sins, the more you're away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, my brother and sisters, this concept is a big concept to talk about. It has so many manifestations. Sometimes al-khudran comes in way less than that. Khudran can sometimes comes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you focus on less important things and miss the most important things. Al-khudran can be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make you always hang out with the wrong crowd. The just wrong crowd that keep you, doing more and more of the wrong things. Min al-khudran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you around people who will not remind you, who will not push you to do it. It is a good thing when people push you towards goodness. Is it your parents, is it your spouse, it is your community, it is your imam, it is your friends? That's a blessing. Don't abandon that. Take advantage of that. It's among the khudlan that you abandoned and left it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you find yourself that you don't care for that deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's terrifying. And the key to turn things around is to start taking actions towards Allah. Try and do more and beg Allah, ask Allah, make dua. قُلْ يَا رَبْ لَا تَكِلْنِي لِنَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَلَا أَقَلَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَأَهْلَكَ. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us this beautiful dua. Ya Rab, don't let me rely on myself, even if it is, like a split of a second, or like a blink of an eye, for the shortest time. Don't ever let me rely on myself. Be always there for me, aid me and guide me. Make sure when you pray Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, it comes really from your heart. Ya Rab, guide me. Ya Rab, give me that guidance and open my heart to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the way to, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, to give you tawfiq. And I choose this topic today because Ramadan is coming. And I want every one of us, when this Ramadan comes, it is the best Ramadan ever in my life. May Allah يرزقنا وإياكم التوفيق في هذا الشهر الكريم وفي غيره من الشهور والأيام حتى نموت وهو راض عنا سبحانه وتعالى. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا، اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا، احفظنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا من كل شر، وأبعد عنا الفتن، إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم اغفر لأبائنا وأمهاتنا، اللهم اغفر لأبائنا وأمهاتنا ومن له فضل وحق علينا، يا حرم يا حي يا قيوم. اللهم أغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وبفضلك عن من سواك، أنزل رحمتك على هذا المسجد وأهله، واجمعنا دائما على الخير والتوفيق يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال، أغني فقراء المسلمين، واشف مرضانا وكل مريض. اللهم ارحم موتانا، اللهم ارحم موتانا، اللهم ارحم موتانا، واهد ضالنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، وأعطي كل واحد منا سؤله في هذه الساعة المباركة. اللهم لا تحرمنا فضلك، اللهم لا تحرمنا فضلك، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك فنهلك. صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك ومحبتك، وزين الإيمان في قلوبنا وقلوب أولادنا وأزواجنا أبدا ما أحييتنا وأحييتهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم، اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، اطفئ نار الفتنة والحرب بين الناس يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أدم علينا نعمتك وأمنك ورخاءك وعافيتك، وأنزل علينا صحتك يا ذا الجلال، صحة من عندك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، وشفاء من شفائك لا يغادر سقما. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء، ارفع عنا هذا الوباء، ارفع عنا هذا الوباء، واحفظنا واحمنا بحفظك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد، وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.